Why not Jesus or Jeshua?
Why not cover both? You're not Jewish, but there will be some people who read your book who are. If they're ignoring J, then they're missing a part of their heritage. While we're on the subject of names, I was often called what is translated here as Didymus, which means twin. I humbly included that part of the name in the introduction so people would know who I was. I bore an uncanny resemblance to Jay. In fact, I was actually mistaken for him on a regular basis. There are those who believe I really was Jay's twin, but that's not true. My apologies to those I love who sincerely believe in the later written and Gnostic Acts of Thomas, which specifically says I was Jay's twin. Needless to say, some of the Acts of Thomas is true, and some of it isn't, but a complete discussion of my lifetime as Thomas would take up most of our visits. However, I'll tell you something else that only Thaddeus or I could tell you. My likeness to Jay was so great that when I heard he was going to be crucified, I wanted to switch places with him so he could go free. Thaddeus and I tried to get close to him more than once, first while he was still locked up, and then again after the procession started. Sadly to us at the time, the opportunity to pull a switch never really presented itself. Boy, I would have gladly given my life for Jay. We didn't all run like hell out of town the way it's presented by people who weren't even there. It took me until Jay's appearance to us after the crucifixion to realize that the whole thing was a lesson we had chosen to teach. The world did not understand the lesson of the crucifixion at first, but Jay's process of being a teacher to the world was not over, which is something that you, my dear brother, will soon find out.
I have it in my notes here that you said earlier, you and the other disciples made the error of attaching great significance to Jay's body. Later, you said that you yourself thought resurrection was of the mind and had nothing to do with the body. Which belief did you really have? Or are you just jerking me around here?
Very good. Well, we're challenging you, and there's nothing wrong with you challenging us once in a while. The answer is that at the time, I had both beliefs. You see, my mind was still split. We've also said we are speaking to you now with the benefit of subsequent learning. You'll have a much better idea of what that means as we go along. Back when I was recording this gospel, I understood intellectually a lot of what Jay was saying about the importance of the mind. But my experience, and this was even more true of the other disciples, was that our bodies, and especially Jay's body, were very important. The situation with me then was not much different than the situation with you now. Today, you and your friends believe in the existence of a trilogy, body, mind, and spirit. The balance of all three is important in your philosophy. But you'll soon learn instead that the seemingly separated mind, which makes and uses bodies, must choose between the changeless and the eternal reality of spirit, which is God and His kingdom, or the unreal and ever-changing universe of bodies, which includes anything that can be perceived, whether you appear to be in a body or not. This is a cornerstone of Jay's message. He really did say, as it was recorded by me, in what is now labeled saying number 47, a person cannot mount two horses or bend two bows, and a servant cannot serve two masters, or that servant will honor the one and offend the other.
Are you saying that giving equal value to body, mind, and spirit actually contributes to me coming back here over and over again as a body rather than being free?
Yes, but this doesn't mean that you should neglect your body. We're speaking of another way of looking at it. To finish the point about my past beliefs, my gospel merely recorded things Jay had said. Unlike the writers of the later gospels, I wasn't constantly inserting my own opinion. Thus, Thomas is not so much a reflection of my level of understanding at the time as it is a record of some of Jay's ideas. For example, these words are an excerpt from saying number 61. I am the one who comes from what is whole. I was given from the things of my Father. Therefore, I say that if one is whole, one will be filled with light. But if one is divided, one will be filled with darkness. In other words, to revisit an earlier point, you can't have it both ways. You can't be a little bit whole any more than a woman can be a little bit pregnant. Your allegiance must be undivided. You must be vigilant only for God. This state of mind does not come all at once. It takes a lot of practice. You don't learn anything worthwhile overnight. For instance, how long did it take you to become a good guitar player?
I thought I was good after a few years. After 10 years, I realized I was still improving.
Do you really believe that attaining the same level as Jay is an even easier accomplishment?
I'm not afraid of practicing. I just like to be a little bit more certain that I'm on the right track.
Okay, very well. But let's continue, and you can withhold your judgment until you have more information.
Sounds like a plan.
See, you can't understand how much Jay, who is now totally identified with the Holy Spirit, wants to completely join with you. That's what he said in saying number 108. Whoever drinks from my mouth shall become like me. I myself shall become that person, and the hidden things will be revealed to that person. The mystical joining Jay is talking about here is something that happens quite literally. The lessons of true forgiveness that allow this to take place are not for everyone all at once. They are for those who are ready to receive their individual instruction. I shall choose you, one from 1,000 and two from 10,000, and they shall stand as a single one. Of course, Jay chooses everyone all the time. But how many are ready to listen? As this saying obviously foretold, the lessons of the Holy Spirit will not be listened to by the masses. But the ones who listen, who are the chosen ones, will surely stand as a single one, for that is what they are. God's Son shall return to the kingdom whole and complete, and in the end there will be no one who does not stand with us. The J underground cannot lose. In order to win, however, you must, as saying number 5 puts it, know what is in front of your face, and what is hidden from you will be disclosed to you. For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. What is in front of your face is illusion, and God's kingdom, which appears to be hidden, will be revealed to those who learn from the Holy Spirit the unique way of forgiving whatever is in front of them, the same way Jay did. Eventually, you'll be one with him, and there'll be nothing left but your true joy in the kingdom of heaven.
That's all well and good, Persa, but here in the kingdom of Suktum, when the world really gets in your face, it can be a little hard to hang on to that Holy Ghost grin.
Tell me about it. I've been here a few times myself, remember? I promise we will not be giving you mere theories. You will learn very practical ways of dealing mentally with the situations that are apparently in your face. And the result will leave you with the potential to attain the very same peace of God as Jay. Right now, you believe that certain things have to happen in the world in order for you to be happy. And as you gain the peace of God, it will eventually result in the ability to reclaim your natural state of joy, regardless of what appears to be happening in the world. For as you can see from saying number 113, Jay was teaching that the kingdom of heaven is something that is present, if not presently in your awareness. The disciples said to him, "When will the kingdom come?" And he said, "It will not come by watching for it. It will not be said, 'Behold here,' or 'Behold there.' Rather, the kingdom of the Father is spread out upon the earth, and people do not see it." Jay is not saying here that the kingdom of the Father is in the earth. Indeed, he knew that the earth was in our minds. He was speaking about something that people do not see because the kingdom of heaven cannot be seen with the body's eyes, which are only capable of beholding limited symbols. Heaven doesn't exist within the realm of perception, but is the genuine form of life that you will eventually become completely aware of. Just like the caterpillar becomes the butterfly, you will become the Christ and be one with all of true creation. The awareness of your oneness with the presence of God is yours because God gave it to you. You've just forgotten it. Yet it's still there, buried in your mind. And there is a way for you to remember. And by remembering, you will reclaim what you really are and where you really belong. And we have come to help you and through you help others as well. There are some sayings in Thomas that are similar to sayings in the New Testament that Jay actually did teach us. And I'll briefly speak a few of them for you. Number 26. You see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not see the log that is in your own eye. When you take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly enough to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Number 31. A prophet is not acceptable in his own town. A doctor does not heal those who know him. Number 36. Do not worry from morning to night and from night until morning about what you will wear. Number 54. Fortunate are the poor, for yours is the Father's kingdom. Please note that these last two sayings are not to be applied at the level of the physical. They are about not being mentally attached to things. They have nothing to do with physically giving up anything. If you believe that you have to give something up, then you are making it just as real as if you were to covet it. That is also true of Jay's shortest saying of all, number 42, be passersby. And I'll give you two more New Testament prequels from Thomas. Number 94. One who seeks will find, and for one who knocks, it shall be opened. Number 95. If you have money, do not lend it at interest. Rather, give it to someone who will not pay you back.